Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're getting another Dark Phoenix story, Mason.
Oh, good.
But who could forget the very first Dark Phoenix story? And I'm not talking about the comics, Mason.
But that was the first one.
I'm not talking about the comics, Mason.
What are you talking about?
I'm, of course, talking about X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Oh, right.
Yeah, this came out in 2006. It capped off the original X-Men trilogy.
It doesn't feel like a 2006 movie.
What does it feel like to you?
It feels like a 1999 movie.
Well, let's just say a lot of these X-Men movies have carried over certain traits from earlier X-Men films.
And there are people out there going, it does feel like a 1999 movie. Oh, not in 2006. Yeah, you better believe it.
Okay, I'll say this of this movie. It's universally hated.
Yes.
I don't think it's that much worse than the previous two X-Men movies. I don't think it's better.
No.
But I think, on the whole, it's on par in a lot of ways.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a stirring endorsement.
No, I mean, there's some low points, I think.
Yes.
I was going to say, there's some low points, but there's low points in the other movies. There really aren't that many low points in the other movies.
Especially two.
Yeah.
Two's quite good. Mm. But the thing is, the production of this went through a tumultuous time.
Okay, I'm
ready to hear
about
it. It ended up being directed by Brett Ratner. Brett the Rat Ratner.
The Rat.
Who, like Bryan Singer, who directed the previous ones.
Punch in the Face Entertainment, yes. Or whatever his
that's right.
production company's called.
Yeah, apparently, neither of them not very nice men for different reasons.
Mm.
But they offered the director's job to Darren Aronofsky, who worked with Hugh Jackman on The Fountain.
Right.
Joss Whedon, but he was working on Wonder Woman. Alex Pryoros. How do you say that guy's name?
Who?
The guy who did Dark City.
Oh, Proyas.
Proyas, thank you. But he was feuding with Fox.
Okay.
And he wanted to make Gods of Egypt and Kings of Gods of Men of Egypt.
Okay, I just want to pause just to be like, whatever the sentence you were trying to say there, I cannot believe it. He wanted to make Gods of Egypt. Have you seen Gods of Egypt?
I have not.
Look, it's ridiculous. It's kind of a fun watch. If you're skimming it, if you're doing something else, put on Gods of Egypt and just come in every once in a while and be like, that's ridiculous. Okay, back to the ironing.
Like a big hawk costume, but it's like Iron Man's over a person?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Bloody Jeffrey Rush, he's there to stop the monster eating the sun or something.
Who's eating the sun? Who be eating
a
the
monster.
Sun?
Monster.
Don't be eating the sun.
Sorry.
How big's this monster?
Real big enough to eat the sun.
Well, you'd hope so.
Yep.
No, but he was feuding with Fox.
Uh-huh.
Zack Snyder, but he was doing 300.
Okay.
Peter Berg turned it down and actually hired Matthew Vaughn, who ended up doing X-Men First Class, which I believe is one of the best X-Men movies.
Agreed.
But he left due to time constraints. He was like, well, I can't get this done in the allotted time period, so I'm out. But he actually did First Class in less of time to do the movie. But he did it.
Terrific.
So we got Brett the Rat Ratner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Who was doing nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
He was just floating around in like a big inflatable donut in his pool in his backyard.
I think
and I'm like, hey, Ratner, you want to do a movie? And he's like, all right.
What's a movie?
Oh, don't worry, I'll figure it out on the day. Don't even worry about it.
I think he might have been coming off the back of Superman Flyby.
Oh, another unproduced Superman movie.
Yeah, which wasn't getting done. But the reason Bryan Singer didn't do this movie is because he went to make Superman Returns.
Right.
So, but we'll get into more of the fallout of that a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time I'd seen digital de-aging.
Yeah, right?
It's not very good, is it? But I would argue it's better than X-Men Origins Wolverine First Class.
Agreed.
Origins.
Yep, 100%.
Gambit.
Yes.
Gambit Origin.
100%.
Yeah, but I remember at the time thinking, that's a neat trick. Like,
yeah.
I like that.
And I think it was also, like, I forgive it in the sense that it seems to be, it almost feels like it's kind of a surreal, sepia tone past, where it's like, did this past even happen kind of thing? So I'm okay with it kind of being
No, because
glossy.
They retconned everything,
well,
maybe, so
true,
no, it didn't happen.
Oh, joke's on me. Runner's always 12 steps ahead, you know? He knew they were going to retcon it into a future past situation, you know?
He always knew. Mm. But yeah, look, it's not good. But the funny thing is, I think there is a charm to that de-aging because it's one of the first times, if not the first time. And also, it's funny, the methods of de-aging a person hasn't really changed since back then. It's
you put Vaseline on the lens.
That's all you need
to do. Your film is normal.
Spray their hair dark, go for your life. But it really is, it's just... It's like virtual surgery. It's just like pinning back areas on the face, and they've just got better at doing it. Like
yeah, right.
If you look at like modern Marvel movies, for example, it's pretty flawless nowadays.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's pretty much the same technique.
And all that, I mean, and they do it based on, you know, the hundreds of hours of Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes, that's
in
right.
Star Trek: The Next Generation.
So here's an element of the story which I like, but is completely disregarded almost entirely: the introduction of Angel. As a kid. Not the introduction of Angel from X-Men Apocalypse Dark Origins.
Mm.
It's where he's like grating off his angel wings in the bathroom.
Right, uh-huh.
Terrific. Like,
it is,
and it's,
yeah.
There's elements of the story that I'm like, maybe if you just focused on that one thing, it would have made a good movie instead of doing like Origin of Angel and Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, right.
And the Mutant Cure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I feel that's the downfall of a lot of, I mean, probably also kind of superhero movies to this day, but I feel especially sort of in the early days of modern superhero movies, you know, so your Spider-Mans and your X-Mens, is they went, okay, well, we have 30 plus years of continuity for these characters. We don't know what to put on screen.
Yeah.
Let's put everything
Let's
on screen.
Let's do it all.
Like, you know, and I've often said this about the Spider-Man movies, is that Spider-Man is often considered like, he's a fun, happy-go-lucky character, and every once, you know, every 10 years something tragic happens to him.
Yeah.
But in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, everything tragic, they just compacted it into like 6 hours. They went, everything bad that's happened, let's show it all kind of thing.
But he's still got the quips, doesn't he? The answer's barely.
Yeah, barely, doesn't
it?
Doesn't
because he's so sad.
Yeah, but you're right.
Because his bike wheel went out the window.
Yeah, of course.
In Spider-Man 2.
He couldn't pay his rent. No, I get it.
Pay his rent.
Yeah. But like, and this is the same where it's like, okay, well, we do have so many sagas to get through. And we just can't wait. So let's throw them all in there. Which
do them all so we've got no ideas in the future. Yeah.
And it does a disservice to all of them. And then again, it drains the brain's trust so that in 10 to 15 years' time, they just have to do the Dark Phoenix saga again.
That's right, exactly. It does have the introduction of the live-action Danger Room, which is just a big unrealistic hologram room. But it's the near future or whatever. This came out in 2006. I guess it's 2010, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
right,
never that far ahead.
Yeah.
There's a moment where Wolverine cuts the head off a sentinel and then he throws it and it lands and it spins and then he steps out behind it. But if you watch that entire shot, he's never on it.
Okay, right.
He's not on the back of it.
He's crawling really fast around it. So
no,
can't
he's not. He's not doing that.
He's skulking like a cockroach around the head. Did you go back and forth on that?
Yeah,
dozens
I did.
Of time? Is this your Zapruder film? You're like, back and to the left. Back and to the left. Nope, he's never on there. Everyone said I was crazy, but he's never been on there.
I remember being impressed that they included the Sentinels, but it's really not a good representation. And they still haven't really done it properly.
No, I mean, we got the Days of Future Past Sentinels.
Yeah. I don't mind the future ones because that's what they would evolve to.
Yeah.
But the 60s or 70s ones are kind of like, this is a bad design.
That's the perfect time to have giant multi-shades of purple.
I agree.
100-foot tall Sentinels.
I 100% agree.
The swinging 60s.
Yes. Here's some other things that I like.
I'm ready.
Kelsey Grammer is excellently cast.
I agree.
As Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Holt, I'm sure, is fine.
Yep.
This guy's way better.
You sure he's fine?
Well, he's mostly just Nicholas Holt. He's like, I got a serum.
That's true,
this one.
Yeah.
He's always just got a serum.
I feel the post first class X-Men universe is just various actors who are now, you know, a little bit too popular and expensive for these movies going, just say I have a serum, actually. Just say I have a serum because I don't want to wear any of this. I don't want to put any of this makeup. I will spend 15 minutes in the makeup chair. Just say I've got a serum.
Well, Alan Cummings, who played Nightcrawler, was like, I'm not coming back to sit in the makeup chair for 45 hours.
Yeah.
Also, I like Alan Page's Kitty Pryde. I think that's also a good inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the good stuff from this movie has carried on.
I agree.
Angel, I think, is cast well, but it's
Ben
pointless.
Foster, right? From 310 Yuma. I like that guy.
Yeah. What I find interesting about that moment where they go to cure Ben Foster, where Ben Foster's dad's like, Ben Foster, you're a real ugly bloke and we're going to get you in this chair. Look at yourself, mate. He's beautiful.
Yeah, right?
That man is literally an angel.
Yeah.
You're just some middle-aged, slump-shouldered, dumb grumpy looking idiot.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, my son's a freak.
Yeah.
You're a fucking freak. Look at this guy. He's amazing. He can fucking fly.
And what's interesting, I also feel, is like, this is right on the cusp, I think. And this is, I think, part of the reason maybe the X-Men feel a little bit dated in this era. Because this is just on the cusp of like, if social media existed and you had wings and you could fly, you wouldn't be cutting them off.
You'd be flying.
You'd be flying on, you'd be bloody flying on bloody Snapchat.
Absolutely.
You'd be flying on bloody, you'd be flying on Vine. You'd be swinging off bloody Vine.
Yeah, swinging on Vines, yeah. On Vine,
you'd be,
yeah.
You'd be rich. You'd have a reality TV show based around you.
You definitely.
The man who has angel wings and can fly.
And abs.
Yeah, and abs. Such good abs.
He does have good abs.
And they'd be like, what do you think about other mutants? You'd be like, I've never met any. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's just me, a beautiful man with abs who can fly.
There's, of course, the inclusion of other mutants, which aren't as good. Yeah. I'm going to go through some.
I'm ready.
Colossus in a horrible muscle suit.
Yep.
In a hilarious Vinnie Jones performance.
I think, you mean Juggernaut?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Colossus is good. I think this guy's fine, actually.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, uh-huh. I meant, yeah, you're right. Yes, it, the thing that you said. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Vinnie Jones muscle suit, mortar and pestle bowl head?
Bad, weird, hate it. And just put in because people wanted the Juggernaut because he was a meme at that point, I think.
He's the Juggernaut bitch.
Yeah, precisely, yeah.
Yeah, good. There's throw bones out of his wrists guys.
Oh, yeah.
Guy who Wolverine fights in the forest.
Some sort of riff on the character Marrow.
Yeah, I believe so. There's 1-inch spikes guy who somehow has ingratiated himself in the top tier Magneto group of of mutants.
And I mean, again, if you haven't seen this movie, it's a guy... whose whole power, he's some sort of echidna guy.
Yeah.
And his whole skill is like 1 inch worth of spikes come out all over his body.
Yeah.
So he's a lethal combatant if he can get to within 1 inch of you, and maybe he's cradling you in a hug, maybe.
And you're really lean, because otherwise if you had a little bit of mass on you, he wouldn't get through.
Maybe
you.
They're poisoned?
They don't say that.
Yeah, right?
Also, he could just have them on his hands then.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't need to bring you into a hug, does he?
No.
Yeah, so he needs to give you a big hug.
Yep.
I presume they're not poisoned.
Mm.
And, okay, because you look at that group that he's got. He's got a dude who can manipulate fire. He's obviously Magneto. There's no explanation required.
Mm.
He's a big magnet. Mystique, who loses her powers, but again, amazing mutant. Picks up the new one that can fly.
Yeah.
Not can fly, that can run real fast, like a Quicksilver one.
Yep.
And there's one that
the
can
multiple
do, like,
man
multiple
is there.
Man's amazing. Again, underused.
Yep. The one that could be Psylocke.
Yeah.
And then you've got 1-inch spike guy.
Then you got 1-inch spike guy. How did he get in there? He just got a few tattoos and went, yeah, this is all I'm
Yeah, look, if I wanted to, I could spray these spikes out for hundreds of feet in every direction, but I'd save that up. So just put me in the inner circle, and when it comes to the crunch, when all the chips are down, when bloody all the X-Men are coming to get you, and there's no metal, so you're vulnerable, I'm going to do the shoot spikes out from all directions.
Don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry about it.
And they're probably poisonous.
They're definitely probably poisonous. I mean, I'm obviously immune to the poison, so I can... You know, this is not, I can do this all day.
Yeah.
But you,
no one else
you'd
could.
Be poisoned.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But you mentioned, is that person Psylocke or whatever?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of, is that person supposed to be the actual version of that character?
Yeah.
Because there's Trask, who looks nothing like the Trask who shows up in later movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's Colossus, who's obviously been recast for Deadpool, but who cares? Because Deadpool lives in his own space.
Mm-hmm.
Moira MacTaggert.
Yes.
Shows up as the Doctor who has Professor X's twin. You don't think it's his twin, but it's his twin.
And isn't Rose Byrne. Yes,
and isn't
correct.
Rose Byrne. But that doesn't really matter. There's
no,
Angel
not,
again.
Yeah.
The timeline, and even though they fixed the timeline, it's not fixed.
No,
it's always
sure.
been junk. We've got a video on it if you want to check it out. I think what you said, the
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Explanation for this is if you sort of remember the last movie, that's all you need to know.
Exactly. If you sort of remember the last one, you go, oh yeah, I remember that actor did this or this character did this. But if you go back one more, you go, but wait a minute, he was torn to pieces in the last movie. Why is he back together? I don't know.
You know what? Okay, here's something I do like at this.
Yes.
I really like how they handle, where they do briefly handle it, that Professor X completely fucked it with the Dark Phoenix thing. Like, he built the mental barriers in her mind. Yep. And then Wolverine's like, what are you doing that for? And he's like, you don't understand. I'm up here taking grenades. You know what yeah, I'm talking right, about? Uh-huh, yeah. And then he gets his comeuppance, I guess, because he explodes or whatever, you know, because you reap what you sow.
Yeah, right.
And if you telepathically block a firebird presence from space, or maybe not from space, then maybe that person will explode you one day.
Absolutely.
As the metaphor goes.
That's precisely it.
Yeah. James Marsden.
What goes around comes around.
That's right.
And it's firebirds and tearing you to bits.
That's right. James Marsden famously left this movie to be made cuck of in another superhero movie.
Yes, for sure.
I don't like using that word.
But that's what he said. That's a direct quote from him. He said, look, I'd like to... I've had a lot of fun and it's great working with these people, but I just want to be a cuck in another superhero movie. So
he gets his... Yeah, he gets the love of his life stolen by Superman, and this she was stolen by Wolverine. Although she chooses Scott in the end, doesn't she, or something?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And then she explodes him or whatever happens to him. It's not important. He comes back because of time travel.
He
later.
Does come back, but again, it's left very ambiguous because it's assumed he's dead in this movie.
Yeah.
But you never see a body and you never see a flashback.
No.
You just see his visor.
Yeah.
Maybe she teleported Glasses. Him somewhere else. We'll never know.
His Oakleys.
Yeah, his Oakleys. That's right. Yeah, exactly. His speed dealers. But yeah, we never... Because we never come back to this timeline, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he gets undestroyed at the end of... Days of Future Past.
Yeah, he's back, but we don't know at
with
that...
him some even speedier speed dealers on.
Yeah, boy, does he. But also, it's at that point we don't know whether the Dark Phoenix saga happened, like which version of it happened.
Yeah, right.
But I guess it's this new one that happened.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess. Yeah. So does the final sequence in Days of Future Past, side note, take place after the events of
the new Dark Phoenix? I guess.
Unless they're all killed, in which case they've broken the timeline again. Good work.
Great stuff.
Look, I don't want to make any assumptions. I don't want to assume the worst, but they're going to break the timeline and ruin it again.
The last one. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
X-Men Ghost School was never coming out, remember?
Yeah, okay, I get it.
Disney are going to bury it.
Good.
It's got my favorite comic book trope from 2002 to 2013. Which is a truck flip.
Oh yeah, so good.
They can't stop doing a truck flip.
Again, we're just truck and train drivers in this universe. They just have a little handbook next to them and it says, what happens if you see a guy in front of you on the train tracks and he's putting his hand up in a threatening manner and you just go through it and you go, okay, well, he's wearing a lot of metal, so maybe he's got magnetic power, so let's go through here, okay.
Mm, okay, he's not protected by anything. That's probably some kind of force field situation.
Do you think he's an illusion? Is he flickering? What's going on?
Just hit the brakes.
Just hit the brakes, yeah.
So yeah, there's a truck flip. It looks good for truck flips, to be fair. What another thing I do think looks good in this is the destruction of Jean Grey's childhood home.
Yeah, okay, that does
like
look
it's
good.
All kind of shattering and you know, and shaking and the water's pouring upside down, etc. and so forth. There's a great cowboy switch when Wolverine gets thrown through the roof.
Oh, yes.
And then a stunt actor drops back through the other side.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. I think it's quite good.
Uh-huh.
And I really like the Professor X being exploded effect.
Yeah,
and I think it's also like, I like that character.
Yeah, for
despite
sure.
Despite a lot of these movies,
yeah.
Some of them are good.
And it was
and I like him.
And it was, you know, it was 2.5 movies in the lead up. It wasn't like,
yeah.
We're just going to blow him up.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and of course he had been removed from the game. In both previous movies.
Professor X'd.
But in this one, yeah, you're like, well, okay, he's a good character and he's not always right, but he does, you know, he's a character we can believe in.
Yeah.
And then bam, dead.
And now he's in all our mouths. Yeah. At $210 million, this was the most expensive movie ever made at the time.
I thought you were going to say 210 minutes. I'm like, wow, this was actually a breeze.
It wasn't so bad. Great line. Is a good line. When they moved the bridge from Full House, which is what I call it,
yes.
Across...
That's what they call it. That's what the plaque on it says.
What's the island called they go to?
The island...
Is it Alcatraz? Is it supposed to be Alcatraz?
It's called the island that you get to from the bridge from Full House. That's what it's called. There's a plaque.
If you move the bridge.
If you move the bridge, yes. If we were to move the bridge...
I don't think he needed to move the bridge, quite frankly, but he moved the bridge.
Mm.
And he goes, Charles always wanted to build bridges. Terrible line. First of all, you're not building anything. You moved a bridge. If you said, Charles always wanted to move the bridge.
What happened is he moved the bridge and then all his followers looked up at him,
yeah.
Like expecting a big line. And he just sort of made the best of a bad situation. And they also, there was tepid applause.
Like, yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
Bridge.
Mm, yeah.
You said bridge. There's another bit where Magneto goes, humans and their guns. Because he thinks they've got metal guns.
Yes.
And they've got plastic guns.
Ooh.
Is he not, earlier he's like, Wolverine, I can smell you adamantium. You stink to high heavens. Mm-hmm. You can't tell if somebody's holding a metal gun. You don't know that?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they were carrying like a whole bunch of fishing weights in their pockets to trick him. And he's like, there seems like there's a lot of metal over there. Yep, gonna chance it with this line. Oh, no!
This is the bit that I remember you talking about at the time that you didn't like. The last battle's just generic mutants running in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they all can teleport.
Yeah.
And they all have shape-shifting
abilities. They all have 1-inch spikes. They're all like, I'm gonna shoot out my spikes any second now.
Yeah. And there's some of them which... I don't mind that stand out. There's the guy who Wolverine keeps cutting his arms off.
Yeah,
and
right.
And he's like, come on!
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Come on!
Yeah.
And he kicks him in the balls.
That's pretty good.
That's great stuff.
But yeah, like it didn't...
Come on!
No, I get it. But it's kind of like, yeah, it's like, well, they just had the teleport effect.
Yeah.
On their computers and they were like...
The BAMF.
The BAMF.
A BAMF.
Let's just put in some more BAMFs. No, give us... Let's put them all in black leather.
Yeah, that's
fine. Have them run at each other.
I mean, they're always in black leather running at each other, aren't they?
That's true, yeah.
But it's mutant on mutant. And the kid, he's a cure. Is he Leech?
Yeah. He's kind of Leechish, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I like Iceman versus Pyro.
Me too.
I think it's a good payoff.
Me too.
To a character, well, both of which were in the first one, but Pyro was played by a different actor.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was a good payoff, and we finally got the evolution of Iceman into the full kind of comic book man built from ice that we never see again.
That's right.
So that's pretty great, right?
No, I think he does it in Days of Future Past.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
He's melted down or whatever in the future.
Cool.
But yeah, good on you, Iceman.
Nice.
And great ice skating on the fly.
Yes.
We all are impressed with you. And
proper
your twin
applause.
Brother.
Yes. Red hot applause.
Red hot. What do you think about the Magneto gets tricked by Wolverine and gets stabbed with the cure and then he's like, now I'm just like everybody else. What do you think about
that? Well, I think, again, I think the plot had to go that way.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, all right, we've got to have Magneto lose his powers at the end, so let's just...
Or does he?
I mean, he does, but he doesn't.
But does he?
But he...
I mean, he does initially.
Well, he does initially, but then in the next movie, they're like, well, we need him to have his powers back,
yeah.
So...
But also, of course, in what is... Well, it's not a post-credit scene.
Yes.
But there's he moves the chest bit at the very, very end.
Yeah.
As Angel is flying over and people are like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
He is amazing. Yeah. I bet his dad's a real Uggo, but that guy,
right.
He's got
what a beaut. Well, actually, the twist there originally was that Magneto, the chest piece was actually made of wood. And it turns out Magneto's powers have evolved. Now
just
he's wood. He's Wood-Nito now.
Wood-Nito.
Yeah.
What about Magwoodo? Does that work?
Yeah, that works as well. The next movie is him just deciding on what name to use.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Big wooden helmet?
Yeah.
Great. Jean dies.
Yep.
And that's fine, and I don't care. All I was thinking the whole time was, how come Wolverine's pants didn't disintegrate? Everything else on his whole X-Men outfit came off and his skin's coming off.
Yeah.
I can see his metal skeleton underneath.
You wanted to see his metal dong underneath?
Yes. Does he have a metal dong?
I don't think so.
I think he does. I don't think
that's one for the ages.
I don't think he does.
No.
Just to clarify.
Mm.
Yeah. Look, I think this is... Oh, there's a post-credits where Professor X is back. Who cares?
Yep.
Because he just is. I think this is fine. I don't think it's atrocious.
No, I don't think it's atrocious.
I think it'd be atrocious now if you released it now.
Yeah.
Which may be what the new Dark Phoenix... Well, I haven't seen it yet. I bet there's a bloody truck flip or a train flip in it.
There's no way there's not a train flip. There's a train twirl even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Mixing it up.
Yeah.
They're taking all sorts of different degrees of action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think of this, though?
Again, it's
better than Spider-Man 3.
It is better than Spider-Man 3. But again, it's a product of its time, and it's a superhero movie. I don't know. It just feels like that way of making these movies is gone now.
Yeah.
We can't go back to it, I don't think.
It feels
dated, and it feels incomplete and kind of just clunky.
Despite being $210 million, it feels cheap in parts a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Because I'd imagine a lot of that money went into, well, we got to get Halle Berry back, so we got to give her $15 million or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She dropped that Storm accent, didn't she, pretty quickly?
She really did, yeah.
Yeah. I do like the new Storm wig every movie. I'm like, what kind of wig is Storm going to have this time
She's
around?
A lady of fashion. She's got to have that new wig.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm there for it.
Mm.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, a lot of these movies, and this is no exception, one of the producers on this is Kevin Feige.
Ah.
And a lot of the mistakes that he saw that these movies made... he then didn't make for the MCU.
Yeah, right.
So he was there for like a lot of these early days mm-hmm. X-Men movies and Spider-Man
movies. Don't hire Bryan Singer.
That's right.
Don't hire Brett Ratner.
Yeah. And obviously that's been carried on, you know, for the 11 years of Marvel movies that they've been as of so far. So look, even if you hate this, at least we got better movies as a result because somebody didn't hire Brett Ratner.
Very true.
For their movies.
Uh-huh.
And that's X-Men first days... Last Stand.
Last Stand. Very confusing.
That wasn't a bit. I genuinely couldn't remember.
They should have called it First Last Stand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I bet they just couldn't wait to use those three Wolverine claws in the
posters. Oh, my goodness. I bet we'll find out later that X-Men 1 and 2 didn't make any money, and they're just like, well, we got to just push it through. Just push 3 through. We want to see the three claws to make the 3.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. And this one isn't making any money, but just push it through to X-Men 6. We want to see him double fist those claws.
Which one is X-Men 6? So the next one's Origins.
Are we counting Wolverine's spin-offs?
Yeah, I guess so.
Then I don't know. I refuse to think it's
Origins and then First Class and then The Wolverine, I want to say.
Yeah.
Maybe that's... You could double claws that on The Wolverine 6.
Yeah, and then it stays a future past. Yeah,
that's okay, right.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. Look, there's been Caravan of Garbage with this every Tuesday. If you've got something you want us to talk about, whether that be a movie or a video or a comic or a TV show, whatever, we'll take a look. We don't mind.
We'll do anything.
We'll do anything. And we also have videos.
We'll criticise your thesis.
Yep.
You got a master's thesis out there? We'll summarise it. We'll make fun of it.
We didn't
don't
like,
worry about
you
it.
You used the wrong spacing also.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Looks like somebody didn't have enough words, so they've moved it up to 12.5 font.
Hey, look, we've all been there, mate. But I know all these tricks because I did them. I lived them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, we do videos here every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and we've got a podcast on the new Dark Phoenix movie from our podcast, The Weekly Planet.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Every Monday, we talk movies and comics and TV shows. But there's a bunch of episodes on a bunch of comic movies and just movies in general and TV shows. If you do want to check them out, that is linked below. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Both of us are on Twitter, and if you're on Twitter, that's good too.
We're all on Twitter, just one big happy family.
Huzzah, hurrah. Goodbye.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Huzzah, hurrah. What do you think? New catchphrase.
I hate it.
Wood Neato.
Yes.
That's my new catchphrase.
Oh,
now.
Then I love that. I love that because it's something I've said.
Good.
Okay, bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.